Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
How are we doing tonight, Sozo? All right. So good to hear you. I'm so glad to be able to spend tonight with you. This is the most important part of my day, and I'm just pumped. I love y'all. Hey, by the way, we're in the third week of our series, Family Matters, and we're talking about vision for our family. And I'll just say this, if it matters to God, it matters to us. Come on, somebody, let me hear you. Hey, I just got to tell you in advance, I'm going to be bringing some passion today, okay? So hold on to your butts, all. And I'm excited for where we're going. You know, we're continuing to talk about vision for our family and where we're going in 2019. And, you know, I'm gonna unpack the thought, continue to unpack the thought of generosity. But today we're going to land on servanthood. That's where we're going. We're going to be landing on how we can serve God with our time and our talent. I'm very excited to unpack that. But before I unpack that thought, where we'll land today, you know, we exist as a church and a youth group so that all people can realize God loves them unconditionally. You know God loves you unconditionally? Go ahead, just pat yourself on the back. It feels good. Listen, guys, if you missed last week, and I just pray that you go back and you listen to the podcast, get caught up on generosity and what we're talking about, because we are going to be a youth group that is called to be extremely generosity. We're going to be extremely generous. Come on. By the way, if this is your first time here, welcome to the family. Well, I just want to remind you, you are family and you belong here. If this is your first time, we're so glad that you're here. As a family, we want everybody to know God. And I'll just make it so simple for you. We believe that if you keep coming to Sozo, and then in turn, you go on the weekend to Main Church, you will get the tools and the resources to grow in right relationship with God. We believe that. So keep coming and let God do and a work in your heart. So good. But we're going to jump right in today. I'm so excited. So we're going to go to John 13. Everybody open up your Bibles. John 13. If you didn't bring your Bible with you, but you brought your cell phone with you, that is your Bible. So it's okay. Go ahead, get it out. So as we're going into God's Word, I just want to encourage you, note takers are history makers. I believe that with everything in me, that you got to be an echo before you can be a voice. You got to be an echo before you can be a megaphone, and store up the goodness inside your heart because God will bring it out. So note takers are history makers. We're jumping in. John 13. If you're new to the Bible and you're new to church, John 13 is right before Jesus was betrayed. Let me give you a little bit of context. This is right before he dies on the cross for our sins and the sins of the world, you and I. And so this is the Last Supper. This is his last hurrah. If you're with me, just say yeah. All right, let's jump in. This is John 13. Just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his dear companions, he continued to love them right to the very end. It was supper time. The devil by now had Judas, son of Simon the Iscariot, firmly in his grip, all set for betrayal. Jesus knew that the Father had put him in complete charge of everything and that he had came from God and was on his way back to God. So he got up from the supper table. He set aside his robe and his apron, and he poured water into a basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples, drying them with his apron. When he got to Simon Peter, Peter said, "Master, you wash my feet?" And Jesus answered, "You don't understand what I'm doing now, but it'll be clear enough to you later." Peter persisted, "You're not going to wash my feet ever." And Jesus said, "If I do not wash you, you cannot be a part of what I'm doing." And so then Peter said, "Master, well then, not only my feet, but wash my hands and my head." And Jesus said, "If you had had a bath in the morning, you only need your feet washed now, and you'd be clean from head to toe." In other words, listen, Peter, I've been spending a lot of time with you. I know you went to Taco Bell last night. I ain't about to wash all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-mm. We close and all, but we ain't that close. But Jesus continued to say, he said, "My concern, you understand, is holiness, not hygiene. So now you're clean, but not every one of you. He knew who was going to betray him. That's why he said, not every one of you. And after he had finished washing their feet, he took his robe, he put it back on, and he went back to his place at the table. And then he said, do you understand what I've done to you? You address me as teacher and master, and rightfully so, and that's what I am. So if I, the master and the teacher, wash your feet, you must now wash each other's feet. I've laid down a pattern for you. What I've done, you do. I'm only pointing out the obvious. A servant is not ranked above his master. An employee does not give orders to the employer. If you understand what I'm telling you, then act like it and live a blessed life. This is amazing. This is awesome. This is riveting. Jesus ends this whole experience with the key to living a blessed life. The way to tap into a blessed life is not by getting, but giving. It's not by being served, but serving. Jesus says, if I can do it, you can do it. I want to preach a message, and I'm telling you, I'm going to come with some passion. Somebody just say passion. You can write down notes if you're taking notes tonight. I pray that you are. Write down the title of our talk. It's called One at a Time. One at a Time. Turn to somebody, tell them one at a time. Yeah. And we're just going to pray. We're going to believe that God's going to come and he's going to encourage us, that we're going to leave better than we walked in here. We're going to leave pumped up and excited. Somebody say cloud nine. I'm just kidding. Don't say that. But cloud nine. Let's just go ahead. Let's bow our heads. I got to settle down. God, I thank you so much that we can just gather in your name, Jesus. We thank you for your word. God, I thank you that it brings life to our very bones. It encourages us. It brings us peace, God. And I thank you for the work that you're doing in us. Lord, I thank you for what you do in this service. I just praise you in advance for moving and stirring our hearts. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You could go ahead. You could clap. You could do something so you're alive tonight. It just feels good. I don't know if you grew up in church, but I grew up in church, and so if anybody here, you ever been to like church camp? Anybody ever been to church camp? And so when I grew up the church camp, it wasn't just called church camp, we called it VBS, okay, Vacation Bible School. And it was a lot of fun, real cool. And so when I was in fifth grade, I'm gonna go way back when I was in fifth grade, I was just at the tail end of VBS when you would move up. And so it was always 3 days of VBS, and then we would have a family night. And at the family night, everybody would gather together and we'd get like, you know, chili, and then like your uncle would bring chili and there'd be more chili and you'd just be so sick of chili. And then sometimes there'd be a hot dog, but there's a lot of chili, okay? And so we had this big party, but we had to set up for it. And so the pastor was a smaller church. Basically, we had our building, a massive parking lot that unfortunately was never filled, and then a pavilion. Okay, and so we had to carry all of these tables and these chairs to set up for family night, and I just remember coming early because my parents, they were so bought into the church. We were serving, we had servant hearts, and we're just serving, we're building God's kingdom. And the pastor's like hustling everybody around. Hey, come here, I need you guys to set up tables and chairs. And so I'm literally carrying tables all the way across the parking lot. Now, everybody's carrying like 6 tables at a time, but holy at your boy, I'm only carrying 2 because God gave me noodles, right? So I'm doing my thing. And then like we get the table set up, and now we move the chairs. People are literally carrying 6 at a time, 3 in each hand. Hold at your boy, I got 2, 1 in each hand. And we get to the point, I mean, I'm so tired. And basically our pastor, he shouts from the end of the parking lot. He's at the church. He's like, hey, I need help. Somebody come and help me. And so like, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. You ever just want to get your ticket out? Like, you're like, I've been doing this. This is hard. I don't want to do this anymore. So I'm like, this is my opportunity. So I literally lean my chairs up against me, but my arms are tired. So I'm like, me, like, I'll do this. And so I go over to help him, and we go downstairs. We're going into the basement. He puts his hand on my shoulder. He gets real serious. He's like, son, you're called. You're graced. There's an anointing on your life. You can do this. And I'm in fifth grade. I'm kind of getting scared. Like, what are you about to do? What's about to happen? Like, and he's like, listen, we have a septic tank. Some people have public sewage, but we got a septic tank. If you don't know about septic tanks, it can back up. And so basically in the bathroom, it backed up. And so I'm like, I'm nervous. He hands me a mop. How many know if you can't hold a mop, you can't hold a microphone? Huh? And so he literally hands me a mop. And we walk over to the door and he just opens it. And I look in. I mean, like my eyes are burning. Okay, it's like blood, sweat, tears. It's a mess. And I had this thought. I'm like, God, why? Why would you do this to me? Why, God? And it just like, it came up in me that, you know what? I'm here to serve. I'm not above anything. I'm not above any task. I'm not above anything. There's no job too low. When you live a life to serve, you start to do what seems fit. Paul said this. Paul said, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer that I live, but come on. Christ lives through me. Jesus, though he was rich, he became poor. Though he was a king, he became a servant. Though he had it all, he gave it all. Jesus was the servant of all, and he modeled how you and I can love people and serve. I'm going to give you a few thoughts tonight that you can write down, and I just pray that you write them down. I'm going to encourage us with thought number one. He descended to greatness. Go ahead and write that down. Jesus descended to greatness. Wait a minute. Didn't he ascend up into heaven and he ride the escalator up? Yes, but first he came down to serve you and I. I just love this. It's very characters. I'm not above any job. Jesus became a servant. The gateway or the pathway to greatness is through being a servant. God's math works differently than our math. God is always working opposite of culture. Watch how God does it. God goes, the first shall be last. The greatest of all is the servant of all, or the least of all. The best faith, or the greatest faith, is what? Childlike faith. God's math works differently than our math. He's showing us that if you humble yourself, that's how you get exalted. But it's those that exalt themselves that end up getting humbled. I don't know about you, but I want to live a life that says, I'm not above any task. I'm not above any person. I'm not above any place. I'm not above anything. And I'm willing to get down on the ground and wash your stinky feet. And I'm believing that the greatest of all is the servant of all. Jesus said in Matthew, he said, just as the Son of the Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for a ransom for many. The very actions of Jesus, the very posture of Jesus is that I'm getting down in the dirt with you. I'm going to get down in the trenches with you and I'm going to serve you. Jesus exuded humility. You could write down number two tonight. Jesus came to serve the one. Jesus came to serve the one. We make the biggest impacts through the smallest acts. It says so much about Jesus in the ones that he served. I get so mesmerized, I get so moved that our God stopped for the one. Our God stopped for one man and a sick child. He stopped for one man with a withered hand. He stopped for one woman who was bent over. He stopped for one man who had a lot of demons. He stopped for one man with a sick mother. Jesus always stopped for the one. Jesus was never above the one. When we serve the one, we make the biggest difference by serving the one. We make a huge impact through small acts. When I was in middle school, right to ninth grade, I was in a band. Yeah, I was in a heavy metal band. Holla at your boy. It was called Shadows Against My Reflection. You could probably Google it, but Sam R for short because we were cool like that and all. But like literally, we were a Christian screamo band. Nobody can understand us, and we thought we were ministering to everybody, and we were going places. Everybody's gonna come, and gonna like get saved in the middle of, and like just the anointing was gonna fall. It's gonna be amazing, Spirit fall fresh, and so I remember we had to sell all of these tickets to play at Mr. Small's, and we ended up buying most of them ourselves, but we showed up, and we had one person that showed up to the show. One person, and I remember it because it was my dad, and I had this conversation with my dad. I'm like, Dad, we're supposed to change the world. People are getting saved tonight. You're the only one. Will you rededicate your life? But I was so upset. I was so devastated. And thinking about how am I going to save the world and thousands if only one person is willing to show up? And I remember my dad telling me that it's that one person that matters. Come on, there's millions of people in Pittsburgh. There's thousands in Cranberry. There's 2,400 in Seneca Valley High School alone. There's a lot of people in our area. How are we going to change them? I'll tell you. How are we going to reach them all? I'll tell you. One at a time. It's one serve day at a time. It's one student campus experience at a time. It's one act of kindness at school. Anybody willing to live a life that says, I'm willing to get down and serve the one? I'm telling you that when you start serving the one, that we make the biggest impact in the world. When I was 23 years old, I came back to church. I got on fire for Jesus. I mean, like, I was lit. And I've been on fire ever since. And when I came into the church, I was, anybody in here ride dirt bikes? Like, I was just like, just send it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to rip. And there was this kid that I worked with. I worked in the corporate world. And this kid, like, I mean, our workplace beat him up. They beat him up because he talked different. He looked different. Like, he physically was just a little bit different. And they destroyed him. So what I did is God put this kid on my heart, and I took my time. I started to serve him. I just started to serve this one. He couldn't do much for me, but I could do a lot for him. And I was taking him to church. I was bringing him here. He really dedicated his life here, and it was just amazing. I just started to serve that one. When was the last time God put somebody on your radar and you started to serve that one? When was the last time you said, you know what, God, let's just lean in and serve this one person? That person could be in passing. It could be in school. It could be on the bus. It could be in your neighborhood. Shoot, some of us don't even know our neighbors. And I just hope that we're a church that's looking to take it one at a time. Is there anybody that's willing to make a difference, looking to make a difference? I believe that if you're faithful with little, God will make you faithful with much. And so you could write down, well, I'm sorry, I'm not there. Listen to this. So many people, got a little squirrely there for a second. So many people are looking for some big opportunity. They're looking to buy some kid a pair of shoes and get 13 million views. And oh my gosh, it's amazing. Y'all see him gave the shirt off his back. All at your boy. I went country there. I don't know. It just came out of me. But they're looking for some big moment in life. When the big moments in life are in the little opportunities. We make the biggest impact through the smallest acts. You could write down number three. Jesus was always willing to stop. Oh, man. You see, we see Jesus going and going and going. And I pray that everything you do with purpose. Because there's nothing worse than living a life without purpose. If you're living, you're living on purpose. If you're a brother, you're a brother on purpose. If you're a student, you're a student on purpose. That you live your life, a life of purpose. But I pray that in your going, that you're not a person that's so addicted to going that you're not willing to stop. Because Jesus was going to Jericho, and Jesus was going to this other place, and he was traveling here, and he was going through Judea, but he was always willing to stop. What are you willing to cancel your plans for? What situation are you willing to say, you know what? The rest of my day is canceled. I see this student drop his books in school, and you know, I don't care. I'm going to be late again, but I'm going to be the one to stop. I see this person, this homeless person outside of Walmart, but you know what? I'm going to be the one to stop. I know that I can't be late again to work, but who cares? I'm going to stop. Spill the tea right now. All of my friends are ganging up on so-and-so. They're all going one way, and I've got the choice to go opposite of the crowd and stand out. And I stand up for them. What is it for you that makes you willing to stop? By the way, stop going the way of the crowd when God's called you to stand out. I just want to release you. Don't be the cookie cutter cutout. God's called you to stand out. You know, I just love this story about Jesus. Jesus, one time he has all of his disciples. They're asking Jesus. They're like, Jesus, give us an example. Tell us. Who would you stop for? Jesus is like, oh, guys, all right, here we go again. Another example. Let me see. How am I going to unpack this? All right, guys. All right, I got one for you. So let's just say that there's this one man. He's on a journey. Okay, he's traveling and he's on his way. And some thief comes up, beats him good, cuts him, right? Leaves him on the side of the road to die. Then there's this other guy that comes walking by and he sees him and he just looks at him and he goes, "Oh dang!" and keeps on walking. You ever see somebody that's hurting and in need, and you don't know what to do, so you look the other way? Happens to us all, right? And then there's a second guy. There's a guy number two. He walks right by. And then guy number three, we know him as the Good Samaritan. And he sees him, and he stops, and he takes care of his bills. He helps him out. He pays for his medical wounds. He puts him in a hotel. He's in Holiday Inn, 8th floor. He's up there being taken care of, and he's willing to stop. This is the essence and the spirit of Jesus. Jesus, when you were in your state, when you were in your brokenness, when you were in your worst spot, he didn't walk past you and I. He stopped to take care of our bills. He stopped to take care of our wounds. Come on. Let's be thankful today that Jesus wasn't too busy for you and I. He's willing to stop. He was always willing to stop. He was always willing to stop for the one. He didn't just stop for the crowds. He stopped for the insignificant. Some of us think that our act of service is insignificant. It's not a big deal. Who would even know? I'm telling you today that Jesus said, when you do it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. I just love this about Jesus and the spirit of Jesus. And we're going to close with this on thought number four. I'm going to invite the worship team to come out and join me. Help me sound spiritual. You just wait. It's going to sound like angels in the room. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Number four is this. I pray that you're writing this down. Jesus knew that broken people needed to be served, not talked at. Jesus knew that broken people needed to be served, not talked at. This is one thing that separates us from Jesus. A broken city, a broken world doesn't need a bunch of Christians walking around going, oh, you hurting, you in need? That's okay, I'm gonna post this cool quote. Real cool, it's awesome. Ready? Cleanliness is next to godliness. What'd you think, guys? Oh, was that not good or what? Oh my God. Or I got another one. Oh, it's so good. Ready? Listen to this. Oh, this is a great quote. God helps those that helps themselves. Oh my gosh. No. People don't need Christians to talk at them as much as they need someone who's willing to get down in the dirt and serve them. Be the kind of person that makes someone's world bigger, not smaller, okay? Be the person that tells people what they can do, not what they can't. Call out the greatness in someone. Say, I see an uncut diamond. I see potential. Everybody else could look around this room and say, I see garbage. I see gold. Come on. And sometimes when people are in a really low place, they're too low to reach out and call for help. And we need to reach in. This is so counterculture from our world, isn't it? We want to go. We got things to do. We got places to be. I've got a purpose. Jesus is saying, that's fine. That's awesome and all. But unless you slow down and love people and serve people, you will never see healing happen in their life. Because they don't need your pep talk. They don't need your 2 cents. But they need someone that's willing to get down on the dirt and wash their feet. It's not for hygiene. It's for holiness. Washing people's feet takes off what the devil has stained them with. Hurts, despair, anxiety, depression, brokenness, loneliness. I just pray that we're a church that holds these true values. This is the sozo that we want. To be down here to descend to greatness. We're not above anything. We're not above any person. We're not above any task. We're not above anything. I'm going to try to change the world one person at a time. How about you? We're here. We're willing to stop. We're not too busy. I'm not too busy for a phone call. How about you? I'm not too busy to help somebody with their books in school. How about you? I'm not too busy to let somebody sit alone in Sozo. How about you? I'm not too busy to love people in my church. How about you? Because if we are, if we don't stop, we will miss out on the opportunity to serve someone, and that could bring healing in the midst of their brokenness. I present to you tonight that one by one we change our schools, that we change our culture and the environments that we live in, we change our families. We can be the catalyst for change. Some of us are waiting around for like, God, won't you show up? Won't you move this? Won't you bring the friends into my life? Why don't you start being a friend? Why don't you be the friend that you desire to see? You want somebody to love you? Start loving people. And I just got to tell you, Jesus said, love people. Some of us need to be a little bit softer and gentler with ourselves Because if you don't love yourself, you'll never be able to love someone else, because the way that you treat yourself is the way you'll treat someone else. And so if you're brutal, mean, harsh, critical with yourself, and you beat yourself up because I don't look like so-and-so, I don't look like this, you will never, ever be able to love someone else. You hearing me? You with me? You feeling me, Sozo? Spill the tea. I don't even know what that means. I want to live a life where I get down and serve. How about you? Jesus himself is the servant of all. Let's wash people's feet. In other words, let's serve one another. Come on. If Jesus, the master and the teacher, was willing to get down, then I want to live a life where I'm willing to get down. Let's love people one at a time. Will you help me? Can we bow our heads? Came in here today and you haven't made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life, I want to give you that opportunity. There's nothing like the Sozo life. There's nothing like being saved. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts calls you by name, knows every hair on your head, uniquely knit you in your mother's womb, loves you for you. Loves you for you. He chose you before you ever chose him. Even right now, tonight, some people are going to raise their hand, and you might feel like, I'm raising my hand, I'm going to make Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of my life. I want you to know he already chose you. He called you forth by name, loves everything about you, he's obsessed with you. He is for you. He's not against you. He loves you. Tonight, if you haven't made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, and you wanted to start your relationship with Jesus, would you raise your hand? Just slip up your hand. Everybody has their heads bowed. Nobody's looking. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's the best decision of your life. That is the best decision of your life. Today is a brand new journey. Today starts a new story, one that you'll never regret. And I'm so excited. Jesus said this. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. The Bible says in Romans that if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So what we're going to do is together, we're all going to pray out loud. Those of you that raised your hand, Jesus Christ is going to come into your heart. You are heaven bound. You are saved. And Jesus calls you friend. Can everybody repeat after me as we pray together? Father God, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus, you're the Son of God. And you died on the cross for my sins. And Jesus, I receive you to be my Lord. I'm a child of God, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, can we just get loud for a second and celebrate? Man, that's a party. If I had those little poppers, I'd be like, pow. Listen, if you made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life tonight, you can text SOZO to 97,000. We got a 14-day devotional for you to get you started and give you next steps. I love you, SOZO. We're about to go into worship again, and they're going to, can you just all come stand to your feet and join as we just praise God and give them everything you got tonight. I said that like it was